Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'll read that in just a moment. I was trying to think how I wanted to title this sermon today. I came up with a couple of solutions. What makes for good biscuits? We'll talk about that in a minute. Or fire in the hole? I'll talk about that in a minute. But there was an interesting story that I heard about. A guy went into a restaurant and he said, "Excuse me, sir," to the waiter, "Do you serve crabs here in this restaurant?" And the waiter said, "Yes, just find a seat. We'll serve anybody that comes in." So whatever mood you might be in this morning, and hopefully not a crabby, gloomy mood, but whatever mood you might be in, I hope this message will help prepare you, because if you don't need it now, you will need it sometime, I promise you. But listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes." You know, I was thinking about that when I read that. I'll stop there for a second. I never thought of gold perishing. But yet there's a jeweler friend of mine who says gold will actually rot. I've never thought about that. But it says here that gold that perishes, through all have been tested by fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice and joy inexpressible with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Well, you know, we think about life, and sometimes, like today, it rains. But you know, not just the physical rain, but sometimes the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the Bible tells us. And not necessarily talking about physical rain, but talking about troubles and trials and problems that come. One time years ago, our son said, "That's just not fair." And I said, "The fair comes in October." And he didn't like that very well, but there are trials that come our way, and there are tests that come our way all the time. Probably most of you, if not all of you, have seen the classic movie Forrest Gump. And that whole movie is based on trials and tests that come to Forrest Gump. Like when he's telling the story to the woman on the park bench in Savannah, and he's talking about when he was in Vietnam and how it rained for 4 months, nonstop. And they wade through the swamp, and I certainly can understand how monsoons are, because I've lived briefly in a time when there was a monsoon, and it rained every single day, and it never seemed to want to stop in the country I was in at the time. But the rains come, and in the movie Forrest Gump, there's story after story after story where he goes through a trial, and yet he comes out better on the other side. Perhaps you've seen a movie or a television show where there's, I know it's shown like in Westerns when they're going to blow up something with dynamite. Seems like in military terms, sometimes they'll use the same phrase, fire in the hole. And in the miner situation where they blowing up a mine, or they're blowing up a rock or whatever, and they're using the dynamite, and they'll say, "Fire in the hole," and then there's this boom, and whatever is to explode, explodes. But you know, think about it in this way. In real life, when someone hollers "fire in the hole" and you're in the hole that the fire's in. Now, don't look at me like, you know, that's never happened to me. It's happened to all of us. And if you're not in a hole right now and the fire seems to be pouring in on you, it will come. Trust me, it will come. Because it happens to each and every one of us. But a furnace is not fun. I was telling someone recently that when we lived in Alaska, we had diesel-powered heaters, and they had exhaust on them that had to go outside, and they had to be a maximum of like 36 to 40 inches off the ground. And when the snows would come and fill that up, it would stop it up, and we'd have to completely rebuild the heating system. And it would take a minimum of 3 hours to do it if you knew what you were doing. Well, the furnace is no place to be. It's not fun. But you know, some churches around that have signs, like if you're going into Statesboro, right after Sylvania at Double Heads Baptist Church, they have a sign up there, and they put different sayings up there. Another one is Wade's Baptist Church in Cooperville. Also, the black church right up the road, they put signs out on theirs. But sometimes, you know, I've seen the thing, are you prepared for eternity? Are you looking for smoking or non-smoking? And have you ever thought about your life? Where is your life going? What is your life going to be like? The truth is there is fire in life now, and for some there's going to be eternal fire coming later in life. But we need to know this, or we can become discouraged and disillusioned when that fire comes for us. Now, I know we have a friend that he's an ordained minister, and he was pastoring a church, and he got crucified in that church, not in a physical sense, but I mean they ripped him to shreds. He don't want anything to do with the church as far as pastoring goes. He don't want to preach. He don't want to share. He don't want to do nothing because he got disillusioned. And I tried to warn him ahead of time. I knew that church. I said, do not go to that church. It will be fire in the hole, and you will be in the hole. But he wouldn't listen to me, and he went anyway. Well, life is not always going to be easy. It's not always easy. We Americans want a pain-free, short version of life. You know, we see this all around us, supposedly simple, easier ways to make things happen. And I'll give you two of my pet peeves that I don't like. One, I do not like going into a public restroom in a restaurant or a place, and they have everything automatic there, and, you know, the toilet's automatic. And the sink's automatic. You put your hands on it, get them wet, or you've got a thing where you can put it under and it automatically shoots soap in your hand. And then you got the towels or the air blower. And what really bothers me is when I go in and I put my hand under the soap and it dumps a glob of soap in my hand, and then the water don't work. And then there's no drying mechanism. And so you're sitting there like, I got soap on my hands, I can't wash it off, and I can't dry my hands. All because it's not working. Supposedly to make it simpler. And the other one is, when you go in a place like McDonald's or Arby's or other fast food restaurants, and you can't order up there at the counter anymore, you've got to punch it in on a kiosk machine. And then the kiosk, you know, like, I do not like pickles. And when I try to put in, I don't want pickles, and there's no place to do that. I hate it when those things do that. Supposed to make it easier on us. But I just don't like those particular ones. We want to make everything quick and easy. We were talking about last Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, Brenda did a little mini concert at Green Hill Baptist Church, south of Sylvania. And for those of you that weren't there, you missed a blessing. She sang four songs, and she didn't cry, but me and Patricia and Terry and even the interim pastor was crying, and it was a blessing. But, you know, as we were there thinking about, you know, the trials that she's gone through, and she shared her testimony, and, you know, we were also trying to think about being thankful for the trials that come our way. But even in churches, we seldom hear that life can be tough. We heard this morning in Sunday school, we seldom hear in churches anymore a life about what's going to be in hell. And in college, I had to read a book called Dante's Inferno. It's a classic. If hell is anything as bad as in that book, it's bad. And I really think it's going to be worse. But have you ever heard people talk about how they want things made easier? I'm looking for a church that's probably not there yet, but probably will be, where you simply drive up, you push a button, and someone says, can I help you? And they say, yeah, I just want to confess my sins and have prayer. And somebody over the speaker prays for you, and you drive off. a drive-through confessional, so to speak. I'm expecting that to come up somewhere. Don't know where. Don't want it here either. But the truth is, as the text that we read in Peter just a moment ago tells us what we can do when we're tried by fire, how we can go through it. What does that mean, to be tried by fire? The test is looking for authenticity, which therefore exposes that which is an imitation. It exposes our hypocrisy and our inconsistency. And you know, that is so true. We talk about gold. It is purified by fire and refined. It burns off all the dross. But what about in our own spiritual life? Do we allow the things of the world to get burnt off by God? Or do we just simply hoard them and keep them there? And it's easy to do. You know, and my son and I, we were talking the other day. One thing that bothers us is someone who says they're a Christian and on Sunday they act like a Christian and you think, oh man, they're great. But on Monday through Saturday, they don't act like a Christian at all. That's called hypocrisy. And there was one time in a church that I pastored, I went to visit a daughter of one of the couples in the church. They said, go visit our daughter. She just won't come to church. And I visited the daughter, made an appointment because she was a banker executive. I went in and talked to her. I said, I want to talk to you about coming to church. She said, I don't want nothing to do with your church. I said, why not? She said, because I know my mom and daddy. And what did I just say? Here was the mother and the father. They were there at church every Sunday. The mother taught Sunday school. But the daughter said, I know my mom and my dad during the week, and I don't want to be a part of that hypocrisy. So, why is there a test? To see what you've got in you, to see what you're made of, to see what you're afraid of. But there's four things I want to talk about that God already knows about you and me. And they're going to kind of sound kind of strange, but knowing these four things will encourage you, I promise, as you go through the fire. The first one is, God knows our breaking point. You know, if you using a tool to tighten a nut or a bolt, some particular things you have to use what's called a torque wrench, which it knows how much pressure to put on it. Have you ever had a tire changed on your car or your truck, and you sit there and you watch some, I call them a jackleg mechanic, that don't really know what they're doing, and they're putting your tire on, and they take that gun, and they go, and all of a sudden they pop your lug nuts. We had one that did that one time. It popped our lug nuts. I lost the wheel, bent the car up, all because he ran it on so tight that he popped them. Well, God knows our breaking point. He knows where we are. If you were, I know some of you sometimes drive trucks or big heavy equipment. If you were driving across an old bridge and the sign said weight limit 3 tons and you know your load is 4 or 5 tons, are you still going to go across that bridge? Are you? Because you know if you're over the weight limit, what would happen if the bridge collapsed? Well, you see, God never says, oops, I forgot to tell you about that. I forgot to tell you that it was going to be dangerous. So God knows our breaking point. God also knows our baking point. Baking, like baking bread or something. How many of you ladies or men like to make biscuits? Okay, some of you are not raising your hand, so you're lying to me. Because I only saw, I think, one or two hands go up. But, you know, if you make a biscuit from scratch, the ingredients do not taste very good by themselves. If you take the flour by itself, it's yuck. If you take the baking powder by itself, it's not very good. If you take the salt by itself, you're going to have something to drink to swallow it. And if you take the grease by itself, yuck. But if you mix it all together and you bake it at the right temperature, you can have some of the best biscuits in the world. There used to be a lady in Millen, Georgia. Her name was Frances Chance. She's already died, gone on to be with the Lord. She was a little short, humped, over-shouldered lady, a dear friend of ours. And every time we would go to her church to visit, or if I was preaching there when I wasn't pastoring a church, she'd say, come over to the house, preacher. I'll make up some biscuits. And she made these little biscuits about the size of a half dollar. I could get hurt myself eating them things. They were so good. I told her, I said, when you die, God's going to have you in the kitchen in heaven, and you're going to be baking biscuits for everybody. I really don't think that's the case, but she knew how to make those biscuits taste so good. You didn't have to put jelly or honey or anything on them because they were that good. Now, in the same way, sometimes when we face the fire through trials and tribulations, they can cause things to become better. The biscuit material by itself, without going into the fire, doesn't taste good. But when it goes into the fire, it comes out a tasty biscuit, hopefully. But even certain trees have to go through a fire, like a pine, some pine trees, like a lodgepole pine or a jack pine. The only way for them to grow is for the pine cone to go through intense heat and it burst open, and then it throws the seeds out to be reproducing into a tree. God knows our baking point. He knows how much fire it's going to take to bring out the best in each of us. Now, God knows our aching point. Someone said, it usually takes about 2 years before a child has his parents broke in. That's why we call them the terrible twos. Because by terrible twos, you know, when you're a first-time parent, it can be rough. But every child needs correction. Trials can bring correction to our lives. And sure, they are painful, but they can be profitable when we go through those tests and those trials. Sometimes we get confused and we rebuke the devil instead of submitting to God. Sometimes we want to say, well, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Or why did you do this to me? Not necessarily that God's doing it, but he may allow it because he's putting us through a test to see how we're going to come out on the other side. There's a story of a man that came forward at the end of a church service, and he asked the pastor, he said, Pastor, would you pray for my hearing? And the minister said, sure, I'll be glad to pray for you. And he proceeded, he laid his hands on the man's ears, and he prayed and prayed for several minutes. And finally, the minister asked the man, how's your hearing now? And the guy said, well, I don't know yet. It's not till Tuesday at the courthouse. Sometimes we get things confused and we don't understand what's going on. It is a way of our trials of life. Most time when we go through a trial, we don't understand it, what we're going through. There's a pastor in the Philippines. His name is Bruce Landry. Now, we knew him. He was a pastor in Alaska, at Nome, Alaska. And he had married a Filipino when he was in the military. And now he's serving as a pastor in the Philippines. And he wrote on Facebook this week, he said, when God closes a door, be thankful. When he closes a door, be thankful. And I can think back over my life a lot of times. There was things that I thought was going to take place, or I thought would be the best for me, and God closed the door. One particular time in college, I was looking at, me and another guy were looking at doing semester missions in a country out in the Pacific Ocean. And we both were wanting to go. There was only one person could go. We went into the campus minister and said, will you call and see about one of us going? And he called. We sat in the office, and the guy on the other end of the phone said, we just filled that position today. And the minister, the campus minister, said, well, I guess I need to do some counseling for y'all. I said, no, we already know that one of us was not going. Now we know that neither of us are going because God closed the door and didn't want us to go. I can think about times when, before I got married, girls that I dated, and I said, Lord, this is the girl I want to marry. And God closes the door. And now I look back on it and go, wow, thank you, Lord, for closing that door. But do we thank the Lord for closing doors in our life when we want something to happen so bad and it doesn't happen? Are we thankful? Then the fourth thing is God knows our making point. Making point. There's a movie called Facing the Giants. It's a Christian-based movie. You probably have seen it. The head football coach was frustrated with one of his top star students. And he had a great ability, but he wasn't giving it his all. And so he said, well, all right, we're going to do the death crawl. And the death crawl is where the player gets on his hands, not his knees, his hands and feet. And another football player is hanging on to his shoulders, and you have to crawl just like a bear, so to speak. And they call it the death crawl. And so he says, I want this guy to do the death crawl. And usually they're required to go on their hands and knees 10 to 20 yards. But he told him, don't put your knees down, just use your legs. And he said, I'm also going to blindfold you. And so he blindfolds the player. And he tells him to start the death crawl. And he kept blowing it. He kept pushing him and pushing him. And the player was going, it hurts, it burns, it stings. He said, you just got a few more steps, a few more steps. And he said, I can't do anymore, I can't do anymore. And he finally, at the end, he collapses. He said, I cannot do anymore. And the coach blows the whistle and says, take off your blindfold. You're in the end zone. He had went the 100 yards carrying 140, 150 pound a player on his back. The coach knew he could do it, but the player thought he couldn't. But God knows how much more about you and I that we can do. He knows what to do to really make us rise up to our true potential. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were talking about a young man that has a powerful testimony, and he can preach. I said, maybe I need to go talk to him and let him come preach one day, because this person that I know is a good friend of mine. She said, well, he's fixing to go off to college. I said, okay, well, maybe sometime. But sometimes we need to be blindfolded and put to the test things that we cannot see. We just have to trust the voice, that being Jesus, that's guiding us along the way. Now, Peter mentioned various trials. This means the trials of different sorts and sizes. Sometimes they come in different capacities in our life. But typically trials will test us in three areas which the scripture teaches are our three abiding gifts. The first is the test of faith. Yet believing, Peter said, who are you going to believe? Is it going to talk with no walk? Or is it going to talk backed up by our walk? In other words, if you say, I am a Christian, live like a Christian. Let others see you as a Christian. I've said before, we had a man in a church one time that this was in Mississippi, and he came to church with his wife, but he wasn't a member of the church. And if you talk to him outside the church, he usually had a kind of foul language. But he was a nice guy. He'd do anything in the world for you. But one day, he came at the end of the service, and he had tears in his eyes. He's an older man, bloodshot eyes. And he said, Pastor, I see something in you during the week. It's the same as it is on Sunday, and I want it. And one day after that, he made a profession of faith. I baptized him. One day after that, I had a wreck. And he said, I can fix your car or your truck. And I took my truck to his house, and we were working on it. And he had a piece of machinery, and something pinched his finger and peeled the skin off his little finger. And he said, that hurt. I said, I know Jesus is in your life, because I know what you would have said before then, because it wouldn't have been something you'd want to repeat in church. The second test is the test of our hope. See, Peter said, talked about the end of your faith. Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to go? Now, for some people that say, I don't believe in God, you know, we're just here. We just cease to exist. And sometimes people say, well, how is you as a Christian can believe that you're going to go to heaven? There is no heaven. What do you get there? What are you going to do if you... at the end of your life and there's no heaven, what are you going to say? Well, my response would be this. Well, if there is no such thing as Jesus and there is no such thing as heaven, then I wasted my time. But what are you going to say? when he says, you didn't know me, depart from me, go to hell. What are you going to say? Well, I wasted my time. You're going to be begging and pleading for forgiveness. What is your take on tomorrow? Because we don't know if you're going to, who's going to be here tomorrow. I hope every one of you are here tomorrow. But what if you're not here tomorrow? What's going to happen? Is it going to be brighter? Is it going to be darker? Is it going to be glory or gory? Or is it going to be glory to glory? Gloom, doom, or song and dance? Now, I know that if I died today, I'm going to be singing in heaven and I'm going to be dancing for the Lord. And for those who think we're not supposed to dance, David danced before the Lord. Didn't even have any clothes on, and he was dancing before the Lord. The third test is the test of our love. Peter said, has not seen your love. What are you going to give? What's in it for me, or what's in it for him? Remember, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. One of the greatest descriptions of love that I've heard came from a Hollywood movie star talking about a Bible study that she attended on stage set each week while making the movie. She said, there are three kinds of love. One is, I love you if kind of love. If you do this or that, then I will love you. You ever heard that before? The second one is, I will love you because the kind of love that I love you because you do this or you do that. And the third one is, I love you in spite of kind of love. In other words, I love you no matter what you do. So which one are you? Not asking for your confession on that. God tests our love. Why do we love God? Why do we love other people? You know, some people are really, really hard to love. Some people, you know, I may have said this before. I had a neighbor when I was a teenager. She was really hard to love. I mean, she called the police on me one day because I pulled up in the yard and the policeman followed me. And then she called my dad and told me that the police came over and she was saying all kinds of false things about me, that I had drugs and women in the house and there wasn't nobody else there and there was no drugs. She was hard to love. A neighbor on the other side, whenever I would go fishing in my dad's boat, and I'd get up real early before daylight, hook the boat up, I had to come between my house and his house, he would get so mad because I was making so much noise hooking my boat up. He was hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to love people. But with God's help, we can love others. Faith, there's somebody I'm believing in. Hope, there's somebody I'm going to see. Jesus, God, my family. Love, there's somebody that loves me and is taking care of me. Now, sometimes these tests that come in our life get our attention back to where it needs to be. There was a guy that told his pastor one day at the end of the service, Pastor, you really did a good job this morning. You must have interrupted me 3 or 4 times. Certainly not the guy that was in my first church. There was a man that he was there every Sunday, and he would sit on about the 4th row, about right there on the end. About the 2nd song, he was sound asleep. And he had a condition where it didn't matter where he was. He'd sit down and he'd fall asleep. And every single Sunday, he'd walk out the door and he'd say, that was a good sermon, Pastor. Yeah, right. You didn't hear a word I said. I didn't say that. But, you know, sometimes we don't really listen to God's word. We don't hear what he's trying to say to us. God, who is consuming fire, who is a consuming fire, knows what to use to purify and to perfect us. He does not cause evil in our lives, but when evil does come, sometimes he allows something to come, but he doesn't cause it. But when it does come, he can intervene and show us what's going on. Now, as I come to a close here, if you got a phone call right now and said, your house is on fire. And some of you, Brenda, others have lost your house to fire. But if you got that phone call and said, your house is on fire, what would you be most concerned about? Well, my family's at church. What would you be most concerned about? Well, the fire puts things in proper perspective. We all hate it when somebody loses their house to fire. But you know, she didn't know I was going to say this, and I've said it before. But when I talked to Brenda right after her house fire, she said, I've lost everything. And I could hear the tears in her voice. She said, I've lost my dog. I lost my cat. I've lost everything. And I said, you got your life. You can replace a dog. You can replace a car. You can replace a house. And you know, if you've noticed, her house is coming back up. And I drove by it the other day, and I drove up in there, and I thought, this house is surrounded by crosses. Have they started putting the outer siding up yet? It's like Tyvek they got around it now. It's got crosses on it. I thought, this house is going to be blessed because it's surrounded with the crosses that remind us what Jesus has done. It's reminding us and reminding Brenda that she went through the fire, the test. Jesus was still in control. Let's pray. Father, we don't always understand the tests and the fires that come. Lord, every single person in this room, myself including, we've had those times when we felt like we were in a hole and someone was pouring fire down on us. But when we get out, we can look and say, I know why that happened. It's made me stronger in my faith. It's made me stronger in my hope. It's made me stronger in my love. Father, thank you for the tests that come our way. Give us the strength. Give us the encouragement. Give us the ability to look on the other side after the test and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for closing the door. Thank you for opening the door. Thank you for leading me through the fire. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.